I remember my first love. I was little, still scooting and crawling. It's kind of amazing that I can remember anything that far back, but it's one of those full body memories where you can remember the smell and the physical feelings and what you heard. It all began with my parents' dog, Cubby. He was a golden retriever and not a friendly one either. He was very tentative and protective to the point of being scary. This love story began in my parents' living room. I was wandering around, and every time I came near the dog, he would curl his lip at me, give me a little growl, as if stating, "Kid, you are here, but not by my choice. Keep moving along." Being oblivious as a youngster, I had literally no fear, and my parents struggled to keep Cubby and I separated as much as possible, probably to save Cubby more than me. And I'm not even sure why I wanted to be near that dog, because I have to admit that Cubby stank to high heaven. If you know golden retrievers, they like to swim. He was always damp from being in the water. He had been sprayed by innumerable skunks, rolled in all sorts of things in his life, and frankly, that kind of stink you just can't get rid of, no matter how much you try to wash it away. Funny thing is, I never really minded the stink. I wanted to be Cubby's friend, regardless of what he smelled like, looked like, or frankly, in spite of what he thought of me. I wanted to be his friend. Early one evening, my parents were busy with something, probably getting ready for dinner, and I made my move. I honestly don't remember that part, but clearly I came at Cubby with a vengeance. He was sleeping on a rug in front of the fireplace, and I snuck up on him. Before he knew what hit him, I laid down on top of him. I totally sprawled out on him from head to toe. My head was resting on his chest, and I didn't know any better. I was too oblivious or trusting to be afraid. Cubby began to growl, which I do remember, actually, and which absolutely delighted me. I remember listening to that low rumble coming from deep within. Grrr, grrr. And I just laid there on top of him, refusing to move. I was like going to ride that Bronco home. And honestly, when he stopped growling, I leaned into him a little bit so that he would growl again. We went on like this for quite some time until I fell asleep. He didn't move either. He just laid there, and eventually he fell back to sleep too. And that is how my parents found us, me lying on top of the dog, sleeping. We had a rough start, but it was a match made in heaven. All kinds of love. That is what I've been thinking about this week. Love includes a complicated range of emotions. Some of us swear it off at points, while others look for it everywhere. And still others may have never experienced it in a positive way in their lives. There are so many different types of love, and in honor of Valentine's Day, I thought, what better opportunity to think about the variations of love? This is not an easy time of year for those of us who may be single, which can feel particularly difficult and outside of the norm when everyone around may be professing their loves with chocolates and flowers and special dates. Valentine's Day can bring back feelings of disappointment and hurt and a sense of loss for those of us who have lost someone we love. And then again, it can be full of surprises and affirmation. Where does such a holiday of the heart come from? Like, how did we get here? The fact that it was called Valentine's Day made me think that it was connected to numerous early Christian martyrs all named Valentine. Wikipedia sent me straight and explained that the day became associated with romantic love in the circle of Chaucer during the High Middle Ages, when the tradition of courtly love flourished. Courtly love was described as a love at once illicit and morally elevating, passionate and self-disciplined, humiliating and exalting, human and transcendent. Love was considered complicated and like nothing else based in reason. Now, historically, February was a time of the Roman Greco fertility rites, a time for a celebration of the marriage of Zeus and Hera. So thus, February was all about amor. Valentine notes were exchanged in the early 1900s, and would ultimately be the precursor to the extensive expansion of the greeting card industry. The U.S. Greeting Card Association is ever pushing for one more holiday. Reason, sentiment to share with everyone, and Valentine's Day was the initial inspiration for the industry itself. Decorum compels us to send cards, buy flowers, or take one another out to the movies, dinner, and oh, don't forget the chocolate. But is this celebration of love truly honoring how important those beings who exist in our lives are? I think about love all the time, and I believe in the power of love, and I hold it at the center of my theology. How many of you wouldn't have known that? See what I'm saying? All kinds of love. That's why today we have a banner on the side of the building that says Black Lives Matter. Because of love. Because we dare to love in the face of hate. It's all about love. And how important that we are inclusive of all people in our community. There is a belief that ministers only really preach one sermon in a range of variations. That is apparently the truth. If that's true, I guess you all know what my one sermon would be. Love, diddy love, diddy love, love, love. Don't forget love. And by the way, did I mention love? I speak about love all the time from this pulpit, and honestly, that is how it should be. That is my calling, that is my ministry with you, to make sure that you, each and every one of you, and anyone that comes through our doors, knows that they are loved, that they are needed, that they are amazing just as they are. That's the gift that we give. I imagine this meeting house being a place where one enters the doors and they can feel the love that is practiced and shared here. It just permeates the air. Love fills the air, culminating in openness, authenticity, compassion, kindness, and happiness. Any fear that may arise gets wrapped in a blanket of love. And it just feels good, and it feels right to be here because of love. Visitors to First Parish would realize that what holds up this building is not timbers or clapboards or pegs or nails, but the sweat, tears of joy, and love of its members from 1643 until today. We have an amazing history, but it has not always been filled with love, trust, or compassion. We have an opportunity every single day to rebuild each and every single day on a foundation of love. We have an opportunity. It's right here. That is what it means to be Unitarian Universalist, to stand on the side of love, to choose the side that is all about love. Universalists, part of our brethren, believed in universal love and in the loving kindness and forgiveness of God for its people. So, you know, it is in our roots. It is part of who we are. It is part of our identity. Now, to uncover the truth about love, I always turn to Rumi, who is just brilliant about love. He's got one sermon. He's a 13th century poet who professed that love is reckless. Not reason. Reason seeks a profit. Love comes on strong, consuming herself unabashed. Yet in the midst of suffering, love proceeds like a millstone, hard-surfaced and straightforward. Having died to self-interest, she risks everything and asks for nothing. Love gambles away every gift God bestows. Without cause, God gave us being. Without cause, give it back again. Gambling yourself away is beyond any religion. Religion seeks grace and favor, but those who gamble these away are God's favorites, for they neither put God to the test nor knock at the door of gain and loss. The words that grab me, yet in the midst of suffering, love proceeds like a millstone, hard-surfaced and straightforward. Love is the one emotion strong enough to wear down suffering. How many of us have been in pain and someone reaches out and gives us love and all of a sudden we feel better? It takes the inedible, difficult grain of life, love, and it makes it into a useful flower that becomes the bread of being. In our darkest moments, when hope seems lost, it is love that provides us with sustenance, and it is love that is our guiding light. There's so many different forms of love that we have an opportunity to experience in this life, each unique and at times cozy, even when they poke, prod, and needle us into action. I've done that on occasion. I think of love of one's family or partner, a best friend kind of love, or a love for a cat or a dog or a horse or any being for that matter. What is heartening is that we know it when love is mutual. You know it, you can feel it. Shared between you and your beloved, you can feel that love because it's safe. Love can be intangibly tangible. At least that's what I remember from my first love. How good it felt to fall asleep on that dog all those years ago. He could have bitten me, and this would have been a very different sermon. But I think that it was the warmness of his fur and the deepness of his timber and his eventual acceptance of his fate that I was going to love him up in spite of his smell that made us fast friends and ultimately family. The memory of Cubby is what I hold on to when I think about different kinds of love. And I was actually reading this sermon to my roommate the other day, and I just started to cry. Cubby grew to more than tolerate me. It wasn't easy or spontaneous. It took time and patience on his part. We grew to be inseparable. We were together always. I remember when I was about 6 and I ran away from home with my doll carriage, and I wanted to take the dog with me. And when my parents said no, I didn't go. Cubby even saved my life, probably more than once. But one time that I vaguely remember, and my mother often shared, took place at our summer home on the St. Lawrence River. As a toddler, I had wandered away from my mother on more than one occasion, but this day she was hanging up clothes on a line next to the cottage. I found my way down to the dock. As the story goes, my mother looked up and saw me teetering on the edge of the dock, looking over into the water, and she panicked. There I was, barely balancing on my 2 feet. I was clearly out of reach. I should also explain that my mother did not know how to swim at all, and she froze. She didn't know what to do, and there I was on the edge. And I'm not sure what actually happened next, but whether it was Cubby saw that my mother was in distress or he saw his toddler teetering, but he bounded from his place of sleep and rest and moved very stealthily to the place between where I'd been teetering and the water. He arrived right at the point where I was starting to lose my balance. He just stepped in front of me, and I leaned into him, and he stayed right there until my mother was able to regain herself enough to make the dash to the dock. Cubby was my protector. He took care of me, and when we got older, I took care of him. Cubby was my friend. He was my brother. He was a smelly, mean at times, nasty at others, cantankerous dog, but we loved each other in our own very unique ways. Cubby taught me about love. Beyond human constraint and understanding, he taught me about responsibility, nonverbal communication. He taught me about heartbreak and loss. Cubby taught me so much, and he wasn't my spouse, and he wasn't my parent, although at times I wondered. He was just a dog, and the dearest friend that anyone in the world could ever have. Thinking about Cubby chokes me up, brings tears to my eyes, because he could have bitten me. He would have been in his right, I was laying on him. He could have let me drown. He probably wanted to. He could not have had the patience that I needed growing up. He made a very humane choice to let me in and to love me back unconditionally, also known as agape. Unconditional love, the highest form of brotherly, sisterly love. I often think the word dog, the name dog, is really God in reverse. Like, that cannot be a mistake. Unconditional love. Love is a human construct, and yet we can learn about it in so many different places. Love is transformative and is worth striving for. It requires us to be more, maybe even to behave in line with our potential selves. This is what I would love for First Parish and you all. Let this be a place in which universal love, agape, dwells. Today and every day, I invite us to reflect on the different kinds of love that we have in our lives. Celebrate them all and mine them. Dig deep, looking for greater insight. To take stock in ones that you love and in the ones who love you back. That's what this day is all about. That is what Valentine's Day has always been about. Not about the cards and the candy, although they're nice. But take stock in the ones that you love. Today is a day to open our hearts, to take a chance on love. I think of Abba, take a chance on love. Reviving love, if it needs that. Allowing love to have a bigger piece of us and to take us places that we've never dared go before. That's what I want for us all. For this we pray, blessed be. Amen.